You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you to look ahead to Leopardstown's card on Saturday. We're calling this on Friday morning because Mr. Holding's about to go away on his holidays. So we thought we'll discount Down Royal on Friday. We'll focus on the top quality action that we've got to look forward to on Saturday. Because what a card it is, Mr. Holding. The Irish champion coming up at 5:45. That, of course, is the feature and one of the best races that I've seen in a long time. But it's a great supporting card as well. And fully justified getting you out of bed early on the day that you go on your holidays for.
Oh, very much so, yeah. Good morning, Alex. Yeah. I don't think it's an exaggeration of any description to say that this is probably one of the best cards we've seen for quite a while, particularly the Irish Champions Stakes. It's almost race of the century so far. Mm. I don't think I'm being too much hyperbole with that, to be honest. You've got the Derby winner, we've got the St James's Palace winner, we've got the Princess of Wales winner. We just hope they all line up on the day, because obviously the forecast overnight during the course of the day is not that favourable for those that want genuinely fast ground, i.e. nudge-nudge, wink-wink, Glen Eagles. I think he's the one that could be the most vulnerable to any change in ground. That said, I don't think Connections of Golden Horn will be all that delighted, so could have a little bit of a different feel to it come this time tomorrow. And obviously from an each-way perspective, the eight runners could get down to six and seven, so that won't be all that great either.
No, not ideal. As I said, we are recording this on Friday morning, so we don't have prices for the majority of the races, and of course we don't know what the ground's like, but we're assuming the official ground going at the minute is good to firm in places. We're assuming that it'll go off something like good to soft, aren't we, Andy?
We think so, yeah. Good, as you say, good to firm in places. The track have just basically left it alone, let nature take its course. They know that the rain's come in. Whatever they get is what they get, really. They can't do anything about it. They've done a fantastic job, and we just hope that the quantities they do get doesn't scupper the chances of all of them running. But I've just got a funny feeling the amount of rain I've just seen on the radar from the BBC weather channel, it's going to be difficult for it not, I would say, to go to at least good to soft.
Mm. Okay, that is just speculation, though, because we can't really.
Let's hope I and the weather forecasters are completely wrong.
Yeah. Good. Right, we'll dive into the action then. We've got eight races to go out, and the first comes up at 3:30. It's a filly's maiden over seven. And Coolmore is likely to be a fairly warm order here, Andy. She was very well touted, as you would be with a name like that for Connections. And ran an okay race on debut, I think it's fair to say, but didn't justify very, very short odds. If she's going off short again here, Andy, is it worth looking against her for some each-way value? Because you'd imagine it'll be there.
I think she will go off favourite. Yeah, she was sent off favourite on a debut, as you quite rightly point out. She was beaten fair and square in the day, although she did run very, very green. And a lot of those Aidan O'Brien horses that do run in such fashion do improve quite significantly from first run to second. I think he's obviously left quite a bit of work on for this well-bred individual. But whether she's going to justify a very, very skinny price second time up against quite a decent field of fillies is very much open to question. I'd certainly be looking towards the horse I tipped last time out if we can get a price for her, and that's Gilded Reflection. She's already had two starts, and in both of those two runs, she's been very, very slowly away. I kind of like gave her the benefit of the doubt first time out when she completely dawdled out the stalls at the Curragh, only to flash home to finish a never near a fifth. And then I put her up and made her my nap, and she was back from 5-1 to 7-4. And lo and behold, she went and done exactly the same thing again. You just can't afford to do that anywhere, but particularly at Leopardstown on the sharp nature of the track. They turn into the home straight. If you're too far back here, as you know, on good to firm ground, basically you just do not make up the headway. And she was up against a decent filly as well, Juliet Fair, who ran quite well in a group race subsequently. The time in the race is absolutely off the scale. And I do think Gilded Reflection is a smart horse in the making if she could just come out of the stalls on time. If she does, she's got every chance of being very competitive. At least she's over 7 furlongs today, which gives her an extra furlong to get into the mix if she doesn't hit the lids cleanly. It might be just one of those horses that's got a trade to doing it, but hopefully for my bank balance that she'll start booking her ideas up a little bit. But I do think she's quite smart. She's going to have to be if she's giving away ground, but on the speed figures, I think she's got a massive chance. So whatever price Gilded Reflection is in the morning, I think she could be decent each way value.
Okay, Gilded Reflection against the favourite in the opener. Next up is the 405, which is a Group 3 Juvenile Stakes over a mile. We've got 13 runners, don't we, go to post here, Andy, and some smart performers. Where should we start here?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Sanus Parakum again. I think there's still probably shockwaves reverberating around the Jim Bulger stable, how this horse managed to get beat last time. I think they thought they got the second coming here, or the second tier filly. He certainly looks just like his dad. He travels, he quickens, he's got a good turn of foot, and those traits have seen to good effect on the first two starts. At the Curra, when he won by a length and a quarter from Lieutenant General, that form's been franked. He beat a very smart horse of Aidan O'Brien's called Port Douglas very easily next time out. So then he shipped up for his next start in a Group 3 contest back at the same venue only 14 days later. He was back, literally his defeat was out of the question. I think he was even money or 10 to 11 in the morning. He went up 1 to 3, no less. But in that Tyros Stakes, he couldn't quite cope with a very tough and strong-staying Deauville, who lowered his colours in no uncertain terms. But to be fair, Sanus Parakum did absolutely nothing wrong in defeat. And time in the race is very generous. They went a good gallop throughout. A horse called Glenine, who was the sacrificial lamb from the Bulger camp, went off in front and made sure that it was a thorough test. The rest of them were strung out all over the Dublin venue. They knew they'd been in a bit of a brutal race. And the third horse, Lieutenant General, of course, has gone on to frank the form since. I think this is a really smart piece of form. So Sanus Parakum, even though he got beat, I don't think he's necessarily one to just turn aside for the time being. Obviously, he's got one or two nice horses to contend with. Johan Vermeer, Shogun, and of course True Solitaire, filly I quite like. Colt I quite like, has obviously got a come into the reckoning. But I do think this Sanus Parakum's all right, and I think he'll right those wrongs from last time.
Okay, Sanus Parakum the pick then in the 405. The 440 is the next race that we're going to look at. It's a handicap over a mile and six. Turn of the stayers here, and this looks a really fascinating encounter, Andy, because we've got a real mix of horses that have been there and done that at varying levels. You've got Windsor Park up there, who obviously lacks nothing in class. He's got such a huge weight to carry, but has the class to do so. Then you've got the likes of Western Boy, and who's unexposed. Sherlock Holmes unexposed and only a three-year-old, plus Anna O'Brien takes five off. There are so many different angles into this race. Which one are we going to start with here?
Yeah, it's like one of those like big London mazes that you sometimes enter and you don't really know which way to turn to get to the other side. And obviously doing this race 24 hours ahead of it, not knowing the ground, how much rain they're going to get, and also not knowing the prices is a real nightmare for me at this stage. So I'm going to talk about just two or three that I think we can consider. Obviously Windsor Park heads the weights. He does love it here at Leopard Stud. He's got some great form over hurdles, of course. He's a grade one winner here. And he's had one run this season, which resulted in him winning quite easily. He's obviously a group horse, and therefore he carries top weight, but Dermot Wells not bothered about that. He's quite happy to let him take his chance. Dermot also runs Silwana, who ran a really good race in defeat last time, but behind Fields of Athenry, the first-time visor. And she could easily take a hand in this off a mark of 99. Then you've got the two horses that are on the massive improve here, Benke and Western. Western Boy, they both won their last two starts. Particularly Benke, he's in fantastic form at the moment. Now, this would be a massive step up from what he achieved last time at Bellistown, but he did a good time at Galway, and he's used to the hustle and bustle of a big field. He's got a strong cruising speed, and so is Western Boy, who slayed one or two decent opponents the other day down in the Curra, travelling very strongly before idling in the latter stages. He also has got some very good form here at Leopardstown in the past, particularly in his jumping days when he was plying his trade in graded level. So just a few there to conjure with. And, of course, you've got Renetti as well, who's been tipped up by Tom Segal for the Cesarewitch. He's making his eagerly-weighted flat debut, having run well on the flat, over hurdles the other day beating Arnaud, of course, down in Sligo. So without seeing the betting, it's a very, very difficult conundrum for me. My two against the field at the prices they're likely to be, I would say, would be Western Boy and Benkey.
OK, Western Boy and Benkey against the field in the 440. 5.15 is next up. It's the Enterprise Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a half. Only the six runners going to post. And a few types that are maybe hard to get a grip of because we don't know exactly what they've achieved in recent runs. Fascinating Rock, likely to go off favourite for this for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. Off top weight. But we've got a few lurkers in here. Morning Mix down the bottom. He's the only one that probably isn't going to be good enough, at least on official ratings. But the likes of John F. Kennedy arrives here very much on a rescue mission. Was so impressive when winning a race on this card last year. I actually backed him for the Derby, Andy. Didn't go very well from there. For me, he'd be one to avoid here, but what wins if he doesn't?
Yeah, I'd avoid John F. Kennedy like the plague here. Tongues high, blinkers. That's all the telltale signs that the I know Brian Camp are just not happy with this fella. Of course, headgear could work, but until we see it, we're just in the dark with him. But he's likely to be priced up on his reputation rather than actually what he's done on the track. Fascinating Rock also comes here with a bit of a cloud hanging over him as well. He's got to give a hell of a lot of weight away, and I don't think he's in the right place at the moment. I thought he was quite disappointing when backed out of all, as if defeat was out of the question the other day at Windsor. But although he only got beat three lengths, he did finish fifth of eight, and I'm not absolutely convinced that he'll get the trip either. He's raced over a mile and a half twice in the Derby and the Irish equivalent, and of course he got well beat. So they're likely to take a massive chunk out of the betting. So this opens it up quite nicely for perhaps a horse like Morning Mix or maybe Answered even to take advantage, and that's not excluding Panama Hat either. I do like Answered, and although he got beat the last day by Found, that was off the back of a long layoff. And I think Found's a very, very smart filly. I'll get onto her later on in the piece. He didn't quite stay at the time before when he was in the Vintage Crop Stakes. That was over a mile six, but he did put it up to Forgotten Rules. And, of course, back in the field was Kingfisher and Panama Hat. So I think he's got the beat in these. We know that he goes really well at the track. He's won here before. And I think a mile and a half is going to be his favourite trip. He won't mind the ground if it does rain. So without seeing the prices, I do think Answered is the one to be with here in this Enterprise Stakes.
OK, Answered the pick in that one. And next is the 4.45, which is the Irish Champion Stakes, a Group 1 over a mile and two furlongs. I must stress, just once again, we're recording this 10 o'clock on Friday morning, so as things stand, we've got a full complement of eight runners and eight superstars as well. Sirius de Zegler, Free Eagle, The Grey Gatsby, Glen Eagles, Golden Horn, Highland Reel, Found and Placecock. Andy, where on earth are we going to start with this? What wins the Irish Champion for you? It is a mouth-watering contest.
Yeah, I think any eight of these horses would grace any card anywhere in the world. A lot of them are in Globetrotters, and they've basically set a very, very high stand in whatever company they've run against. We'll start from top to bottom. We know what Sirius Eagle's capable of, but at the grand old age of nine, I think he'll struggle here. So we're concentrating all the others, and I'm definitely including all seven into my thought process here. The times for these have just been unbelievable this season. I'll just run down the list. I've got a 96 for Free Eagle Ascot. I've got a 92 for the Grey Gatsby, of course, winner of this race last year. I've got a 95 for Glen Eagles when he won the St James's Palace. 97 for Golden Horn when he won the Derby. 91 for Highland Reel when he won at Goodwood. 97 for Found when she beat Answered last time out at the Curra. And a 97 for Policecock early on in the season, and she comes here off the back of a win at York. So times-wise, they're virtually on top of each other. I don't think there's a great deal to split. So what I'm going to do here is hope that all eight runners go to post and put up Found here at a price and just, like I say, keep my fingers crossed that Glen Eagles does run, because I do think Found will be a really good at each-way bet here. She's going to be around about 12, 14 to 1 on the morning line. And I do think she'll outrun her odds quite comfortably here. Interesting that Tom Segal put her up in the in his Racing Post column for the Arc de Triomphe. Citing that this horse will definitely be a better horse over a mile and a half. And she certainly looked as though she improved last time out for a step up to a mile and a quarter, having been plying a trade over a mile prior to that. She'd been dining at the very top table, but just being found out over that appeared to be a minimum trip. But she seemed to stay really well in beating Answered, who basically threw everything at her the other day, but she sauntered by him as if he was standing still in the final last couple of furlongs. So the faster they go here, the better. If Connection thinks she's going to be a mile and a half horse, then this mile and a quarter is going to be absolutely bang up her street. She's the lowest rated horse in the race, but I think she's one of the most promising horses in here. And I think she's going to cause a little bit of a shock. So Found for me in the Irish Champion Stakes. If all eight runners go to post, looks a really appetising each-way bet.
OK, Found the pick then in the Irish Champion. The 6:20 is race number 6 on the card, and it is the Fastnet Rock Matron Stakes, a fillies group 1 over a mile. 10 fillies going to post here, 10 nice fillies as well, Andy. Legatissimo likely to be a warm order. She hasn't done a great deal wrong, let's be honest, so far. Like I said, she comes up against some nice fillies, but is there anything good enough to beat her here?
Well, the only thing I think I'll beat her is the track and the drop back in trip, those combinations, because up to now, she's definitely looked a better filly over a mile and a quarter. She travels really well, she's got an instantaneous turn of foot, and she's basically got too much gears for horses that haven't quite been getting a mile and a quarter. She needed every single yard, don't forget, of the stiff mile at Newmarket to win the Guineas early on in the season. And as we know, Leopardstown is a tricky track. It's got a very short straight, but the races develop quite quickly in the home straight, and horses that are quickening off the turn tend to get away from him here. So Wayne Lawton's got to be on his mettle here. He's got to get this filly into a good position turning for home. If they go a good gallop, that'll be great because her stamina will come into play. If not, then maybe the turn of foot that Amazing Maria's got might just stand her in good stead. And that's probably the way I'll go here. People have kind of like treated her with a little bit of disdain this season because she's been winning at big prices. Obviously, she won at Ascot 25-1. She was a big price when she won at Newmarket. Many still thought when she went to Delville the other day for the pre-Rothschild that she wasn't going to win or be good enough to contend there. She's a bit of almost like an equine Greg Rutherford in many respects. Doesn't matter what he does, he just doesn't get all the plaudatory that he deserves. And so is this horse. But she's proving a real money spinner for New Connections. Obviously, David O'Meara has worked his magic with her. And she's got that amazing potent weapon up her sleeve, and that's a massive turn of foot over a mile. So because of the track on this occasion, I would probably just go against Legatissimo, although it wouldn't surprise me if she wouldn't, go with Amazing Maria, because I think she's probably got the better turn of foot over a mile.
Amazing Maria, the pick then, in the 6:20. The 6:50 is the penultimate race on the card, and it's the Boomerang Stakes, a Group 2 contest over a mile. Once again, we've got some really, really nice types here. Custom Cut, Lightning Spear, Cougar Mountain, Sir Isaac Newton. There are plenty of horses here that have got plenty of winning form. It's how you rank it, because many of these haven't come up against each other before. Which one do you fancy in this, Andy?
Well, I think the ground's going to pay a right key to this race. If it obviously gets into the ground, then horses like Top Notch Tonto and One Night I Dreamed are going to come into the equation. Even though he's a son of Pivotal, Connections will be hoping the opposite applies to Lightning Spear, because although he's won on softish ground before and he does act on it, I think he's a better horse when the ground is genuinely good or good to firm, as he proved when he won at Salisbury and he was second to A-Rod at Ascot. It'd be a real nice fitting, wouldn't it, for Ollie Stevens to sign off his career with a Group 2 winner here. And this horse is the apple of his eye, has been for quite a while. And even though he got beat last time out in Deauville in that pre-Jacques Damar work, still a really good effort on the figures behind it, Esoteric and Territories. Don't forget he had Tormore in behind and Carrick and I, really smart animals, Bellardo and Estic Dar. So, you know, he's a genuine Group 1 performer on his day, and this looks a real good opportunity for him. I think the ground will just be absolutely fine for him. I can't see it, you know, switching anywhere near as bad as it was in Deauville last time out. And he has got a really good cruise and it's been a good turn of foot. So Lightning Spear, providing he's a nice price, is the vibe there in the 6:50.
Okay, Lightning Spear to continue his progression, if you like, yeah, in the 6:50. The final race is the 7:20, and if you thought that we'd had some quality racing up to now and you'd like a nice, easy way to finish the cards, well, you haven't got it, because there's 21 runners going to post for this 7-furlong handicap. This really could be anyone's. I say 21, there will be 18. There are 3 reserves, as things stand, Andy, but plenty of major yards in Ireland are represented here. There's quite a few British raiders have come over as well. Richard Fahey's got one, Kevin Ryan, Brian Ellison. This is an absolute lottery. This is, as they say, equine bingo, isn't it?
Well, yeah, funny you should say that, but sometimes when I look at a race like this and I know how the track rides, one horse just stands out to me. And when the ball comes onto the back, I quite like that. And I really do fancy Collini in this. If ever one horse was tailor-made for this track, it's this Collini. I mean, he ran his absolute face off the other day at York. I mean, he's gone an unbelievable gallop in that mile handicap. It was probably the strongest run race I've got on my figures all season over the trip. But he put it up to some very, very smart horses. The fact that he got to the front ahead of horses like Balducci and other front runners in the race suggested to me that he was probably going a little bit too quick. And in the end, he only just caved in unbelievably in the latter strides of that race. He still looked as though he was going to win with 50 yards to go. But then, because he went so fast, it just took its toll on him. But he's got so much speed that I think connections have probably now worked out that maybe he doesn't want a mile. He actually probably wants to drop into 7 furlongs and let him just completely rock and roll from the front. I mean, like I say, that race is just a complete tear-up, and they were all strung out over the Naismar on that occasion. So if he gets to the front from stall 9 here, given the way that the race is often developed here at Leopard Sand off the front, he's going to be very, very difficult to catch. So Collini, a very strong vote in the final race.
Okay, Collini the pick then in the lucky last. 8 races of top quality, Andy. It should be a fantastic day's racing. Hopefully we've pointed the listeners in the direction of a winner or two. I say we. I hope you've pointed the winners in the direction of a winner or two. Have a lovely holiday. Hopefully we're going to catch up with you ahead of the Currys card on Sunday, because that's a belting card as well. So we will be breaking into your holiday a little bit. But best of luck with those picks and enjoy all the action on Saturday.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Cheers, Alex. Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.